Good evening. Welcome to Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening. And tonight we're closing out the month of February, which is Black History Month. And we're going to attack a topic called racial stereotypes in ragtime. I have gone into this subject in the past, and ultimately it led me to symposium that I gave a couple of years ago at the West Coast Ragtime Festival, which is now posted on their website, of the West Coast Ragtime Festival. In case you'd like to delve into it, it's about 45 minutes long, complete with illustrations and music, but tonight we'll be just doing the music. We're going to start with titles. And one of the more derogatory types of titles that figured in early ragtime compositions was the word coon, which is a derogatory term for blacks. And I would say between 1895 and 1910, the public's appetite for what we would call coon songs was insatiable. But by 1910, it had tapered off and ultimately went away altogether. But we still have some music that's left that's worth listening to. Unfortunately, the titles are not what they should be. So from 1899, here's a piece by Arthur Pryor called A Coon Band Contest. Paragon Ragtime Orchestra has recorded this, and they are calling it a cakewalk contest, which is a great way to clean it up. But here it is under its original title as played by the Down Home Jazz Band. Thank you. The Down Home Jazz Band has brought us Arthur Pryor's composition from 1899, A Coon Band Contest. We'll now turn to one from the same year called A Coon's Cakewalk to the Pawn Shop, which is doubly derogatory because not only is it a derogatory term, but it also implies that black people are constantly in need of money. Anyway, it is a nice melody, and so we're going to listen to it for the sake of the melody. Here's John Arpin at the piano. John Arpin has brought us A Coon's Cakewalk to the Pawn Shop. Also from 1899, we have one called Coon Hollow Capers by Frank Gillis. A very popular melody. The words are not used anymore, but the melody is still very popular among various groups, including this one, the Palm Leaf Ragtime Orchestra from Los Angeles.
Thank you.
All right, Coon Hollow Capers, Frank Gillis there, Palm Leaf Ragtime Orchestra. We're going to jump forward here to 1905, a piece called The Coon Band Parade by James Reese Europe, who was one of the foremost black composers of the early 20th century. He led the orchestra at the famous dance house of Vernon and Irene Castle in New York. Wrote many, many pieces that we still play today. This is one of his lesser-known works and probably done very early in his career, perhaps just to make a buck. But it's a good tune, and here is a group calling itself the Red Wing Blackbirds Ragtime Band. There it goes off in the distance, the Coon Band Parade, played by the Red Wing Blackbirds Ragtime Band. Dropping back to 1899, we have Coontown Chimes, written by Harry Webster. And the group will be the Porcupine Ragtime Ensemble from Sacramento. Thank you. Porcupine Ragtime Ensemble and Coontown Chimes. Well, turning to another term that is often derogatory, and that's the word pickaninny. It's defined as a black child, but even in the dictionary it says often derogatory. And here from 1902 is a song, although it's not played as a song, it's played as an instrumental on this version, but it started out as a song with words by Henry Jackson, but the music was by Scott Joplin. It's called I Am Thinking of My Pickaninny Days. Here is Guido Nielsen. Right, that was Guido Nielsen on the piano, who recorded the complete works of Scott Joplin, and I Am Thinking of My Pickaninny Days. Coming up now from 1908 by Irene Giblin is the Pickaninny Rag, and here is Sister Jean, the ragtime queen, along with her husband Laundry Fat on washboard. Thank you. Pickaninny Rag by Irene Giblin from 1907. And I'm having a little trouble with the next one, but I'm going to try to get it up. It's the Dawn of the Century Ragtime Orchestra and My Pickaninny Babe by Charles L. Johnson. All right, Dawn of the Century played My Pickaninny Babe. Let's turn now to sheet music covers, because these are popular pieces of music. You can certainly find them in folios without the covers, which probably is a good thing. But if you have copies of the original sheet music, you'll find, well, let's look at the first one here. From 1899, by Scott Joplin, who's black, we have Original Rags, his first published piece with the word rag in the title. The illustration on the cover is of a poorly dressed black man picking up rags off the ground. Our version tonight will be by Manami Yoshimura, who is a member of the Japan Ragtime Club.
Thank you.
Manami Yoshimura of the Japan Ragtime Club has brought us Original Rags by Scott Joplin. From 1900, a piece by Charles Hunter, considered to be one of the finest folk rag composers. It's called Possum and Taters. The cover, I'm sorry to say, features characterized blacks, exaggerated features, and tattered clothes. But without the cover, in a folio, it's a wonderful piece. Here is the duet, a duet between Jack and Chris Bradshaw. Four hands, one piano. Possum and Taters, a ragtime feast. Jack and Chris Bradshaw there. Okay, from 1899, a piece called A Tennessee Jubilee by Thomas A. Brody. We know nothing about Thomas Brody, and certainly an innocuous name until you look at the cover illustration, which, as I keep saying, they're hard to find these days. And it shows blacks with exaggerated features and watermelons dancing in the moonlight in a rural setting. Here is John Weaver III. Thank you. Well, for a tune that has Jubilee in the title, that was pretty slow and stately. A Tennessee Jubilee, played by John Weaver III. Moving on to 1902, a piece by Charles L. Johnson called A Black Smoke. And by the title, you wouldn't think anything about it, but the cover on the sheet music, if you should happen to have an original copy, shows a young black boy, definitely underage, smoking a cigarette. It's actually a photograph. Here is Sue Keller. A Black Smoke, as played by Sue Keller. Let's turn now to the year 1900, and a tune called Bunch of Blackberries. Once again, a very innocuous title, written by Abe Holtzman, who wrote a lot of great cakewalks. The title, however, I mean the cover, I should say, once again, if you're lucky to have the original, I guess, has nine young black faces bunched together. Bunch of blackberries. Anyway, here is the Lake Arrowhead Early Jazz Band. Thank you. Bunch of Blackberries by Abe Holtzman, played by the Lake Arrowhead Early Jazz Band. From 1906, a composer named Harry Thompson, whom I know nothing about, wrote a piece called The Watermelon Trust. Once again, a title that probably won't mean a whole lot until you may possibly have a chance to see a picture of the cover, which shows seven poorly dressed blacks sitting in a field eating watermelons. Here is Meg Graff. Watermelon Trust, played by Meg Graff, that wonderful bass sound that came in partway along was actually a bass saxophone. You don't hear those very often. Okay, well, let's turn to one more here. This one from 1907 by Percy Wenrich, who wrote many, many rags, many, many popular pieces, When You Wore a Tulip, Put on Your Old Gray Bonnet, and so on. This one is called The Smiler, one of his best rags. Played by a lot of people, but if you manage to find an original cover, you'll see a black man with exaggerated features trying to steal a watermelon. Here is Nick Taylor. Thank you. Nick Taylor has brought us The Smiler by Percy Wainwright. Well, that wraps up our musical offering for this evening. We have been celebrating Black History Month. We've been talking about racial stereotypes in ragtime, a rather embarrassing part of ragtime's early history, but I'm pleased to say that we have gotten rid of a lot of this. It's hard to find these pieces of sheet music with the original covers anymore. They've pretty much been retired. And most of the offensive titles are not used too much anymore, so we've gotten a lot better. We have apologized. We as the white population have apologized to the black population for what we did at this time. And I think we're all moving forward together. If you're interested in more information on this particular subject, I refer you to a symposium that I gave a couple of years back, which recently has been put online at the West Coast Ragtime Festival website. Just Google West Coast Ragtime Festival, go to symposium or seminar maybe is the word. And there's only one posted so far, but they will post others along the way. But it's there, and it goes into this in great depth for about 45 minutes, if you're interested. This is Jack Rommel saying thanks for joining us this evening, and I hope you'll come back again next week when we will be starting our spring membership drive. And I've got some surprises for you, so be sure to tune in. Time is exactly 9 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and on the World Wide Web at kgnu.org. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
Thanks as always, Jack, and a hearty good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dave Gloss with Swing Shift this evening. Tonight, we continue our salute to Academy Award-winning songs. So we'll have numerous nominees and the actual winners from 1937 to 1940. So there'll be lots of fun listening. Hope you enjoy it. Last week we were featuring the Academy Award songs from 1937, the 10th annual Academy Awards. And most people think that the Academy got it wrong that year, at least in the in this particular category of best song. And you can see why. My question at the end of last week's program was, what was the only tune that was nominated for an Academy Award written by George and Ira Gershwin? And it turned out, of course, to be a posthumous nomination for George Gershwin, who passed away earlier in 1937. But from Shall We Dance, here's a tune that did not win the Academy Award that year. I think you'll recognize it.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key.